George Washington's favorite Bible verse was Micah 4:4, which talks about how every man shall be able to rest under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. To the father of our country, this verse from the Old Testament was a picture of what America could offer to its citizens, including to its Jewish population. Washington himself wrote a letter to three separate synagogues in America saying how pleased he was that in this fledgling new nation, Jews would be free from harassment, the type from which many of them had fled away from to get into the New World. Well, fast forward today, and we see anti-Semitism on the rise. We see Israel being abandoned, often by friend and foe alike. It's hard to understand all these things. Gary Varvel is one of the leading political cartoonists of our day, and sometimes has some tremendous cartoons about Israel and its important stance. Varvel was the Indianapolis Star's cartoonist for 24 years. He's syndicated now through Creators Syndicate. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Gary Varvel back. Gary, I always enjoy talking with you about the issues. You put out some sort of newsletter that is very informative. Plus, you have your excellent, commentary cartoons, if you will.
Well, thanks, Jerry. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. It's a pleasure to be on with you. This has always been a real big part of my life is the Bible. I taught an adult Sunday school class for 23 years in my church. I'm at this stage in my life where I left my newspaper after 24 years. And then I continue to draw cartoons for the Creator Syndicate. But the newsletter gives me an opportunity to basically teach a Bible study, you know, so current events happen and then I can go to the scriptures. And it's been an opportunity to really minister people who don't know the Word of God.
All right. And I'm sure people can get more information on that at GaryVarvel.com. Varvel is spelled V-A-R-V-E-L. Okay. I saw one of your columns recently on the subject of anti-Semitism. Do you think anti-Semitism is on the increase or do you think it's decreasing today?
Well, according to the Anti-Defamation League, it's increasing. In fact, the last 5 years, it's increased by 344%, according to their records. There's 7.7 million Jews living in Israel today, a nation of 10 million. And for the first time, I think, in history, well, the modern era, there are more Jews living in Israel than ever before. And they think the records I've seen is there's like 15.8 million worldwide. But for the first time since, I guess, America has been around, there are more Jews living in Israel than there are in America.
And I know that one of the largest populations of Jews in America is in New York City. And it's hard to believe that, you know, basically a professing Muslim who's also kind of, socialist, communist, not necessarily very friendly to the Jews. Wasn't he kind of pro-Palestinian? And yet he got elected to be the mayor.
It boggles the mind, really. But, you know, a lot of the Jewish people who are alive today are not religious. You know, they're Jewish by nationality, basically. And there are many who are religious, and a lot of those people are living in Israel. But I think you find a lot of secular Jews around the world. And now, if they knew the scriptures, they'll know that, like, for instance, Ezekiel 39:28 says that God is going to put his law in their hearts. And he says, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. Now, that last phrase, not leaving any behind, is what really catches my attention. Right now, that, you know, over half of the Jews in the world are not living in Israel. But this says in the last days, God's going to gather them back to their land. And, you know, when persecution breaks out, a lot of Jews in history have moved back to the land that they've never been to before, but it becomes their land. This is God's land that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He promised it to them. And I find it interesting that a lot of the Jews who go back there feel like that this is their own, this is their real land, this is their home, this is where they were intended to be. Well, the Bible makes that very clear. That's supposed to be the way it is.
By the way, just real fast, as far as the New York City part, in the Catholic League article, they were saying, one of their articles about the new mayor-elect, Mandami, that the Jews, by and large, did not vote for him, nor did the Catholics. Mm. But, of course, they were, you know, he was voted in, and, you know, a lot of secular-minded single women and so forth that and we'll see what happens there. Now let's talk about an example of egregious anti-Semitism, and that was the Australia shooting. And even there, you know, the leader of Australia said, well, you know, this is terrible what happened, and we also have to worry about right-wing extremism. And it's like, well, wait a minute, it wasn't right-wing extremists or whatever. I mean, extremists of any kind can be dangerous, but talk about that anti-Semitism.
Well, immediately after that happened, the mayor of London came out and said that the real persecution is against it's Islamophobia, and that's what we have to safeguard ourselves about, an overreaction. But if you knew what the Quran actually says, then you would know that the Jews are their enemies, and they are supposed to destroy them. I mean, they think that they're doing God's will by doing that. This is not any surprise if you look at what Jesus said. Jesus said they're going to hate you because they hated me. And this is what, you know, the other thing that, Jerry, this is a spiritual war. It's not a political war. It's not even a war against religions. It's a spiritual war in that God says in Zechariah 2:8 that he who touches the apple of his eye, they're going to be in trouble. That he says, you know, he says Israel is the apple of his eye. Well, the eye is the most sensitive part of your body. You know, somebody punches you in the eye, you're going to respond. Or somebody pokes you in the eye. That's a very sensitive part. God says in three different places in Scripture that Israel is the apple of his eye. And he takes this very seriously. Now, Satan can't kill God, but Satan can hurt God if he can hurt the apple of his eye, if he can hurt the Jewish people, or Christians, people who follow after the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ. And when you look down through history, Satan has used the Babylonians, the Persians, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Hittites, Nazis, and more recently, Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, Palestinians, and he has used them to attack the Jews. And what's the world's response? The world says, oh, don't over-respond, Israel. Well, you know, here in America, let's say Mexico and Canada started attacking us and lobbing bombs into our country, we would take that very seriously. We wouldn't have a measured response. I would think that we would really respond and send a message to stop doing that, or they're going to be in big trouble. But Israel always, it seems like the world wants to handcuff them constantly. And how do you explain it? I've said this many times, you know, Russia invades Ukraine. I didn't see any campaigns or protests on college campuses protesting against the Russians. Why? Because they didn't really care. But there's something about Israel, and that something has to do with the spiritual war that's taking place. The devil puts it on the hearts of those people to do his bidding, and I think that's what we're seeing. Now, God made promises to Israel, and if Satan can get if he can destroy the Jews, then he can usurp God's will, so to speak. But that's not going to happen. In fact, I think of what the promise that God made to the Jews in Jeremiah 31, 35 and 36. He says that, you know, the Lord who gives sun for the light by day and fixed the order of the moon and the stars by night, who stirs up the seas so its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from me, from before me, declares the Lord, then shall the offspring of Israel cease to be a nation before me forever. In other words, if you can stop the sun from shining, if you can stop the moon from orbiting the earth and the stars from moving in their orbits, then Israel will stop being a nation. Well, that's impossible. There's no way we could ever stop that. So therefore, Israel's going to continue to be a nation. Now, there's coming a time in the future, we're told, when all the nations of the earth will gather against Israel. We're told that in Zechariah chapter 12. So, and sadly, we know that from Joel chapter 3 that we know that two-thirds of the Jews will be killed, but a third will be protected. The third that has followed Jesus as their Messiah, they will be protected until the end. Romans chapter 11 says all the Jews will be saved. All those remaining will be saved. But we have some terrible times ahead. What we're seeing, I think, Jerry, is just the beginning of the persecution that's going to continue. It seems like the closer we get probably to the end, and I think we're getting close to the end, the closer we get, the more active the demonic world gets.
Well, it is interesting, though, to you know, when you consider the big picture of history. For example, I've interviewed Rabbi Daniel Lappin, who's an Orthodox Jew, and he once said, he said this on numerous occasions, actually, he said something to this effect, that in 2,000 years, the last 2,000 years, no nation on earth has been better for the Jewish people than the United States of America. And he said that's not despite Christianity. He said that's because of it. And so there is a sense in which, you know, Christians have been very good to Jews overall, you know, in this nation. So I hate to see, you know, trends going in the opposite direction.
You know, you raise an extra interesting point, because the thing that concerns me is I've seen a rise of, within the church, a rise of anti-Semitism. And I think it comes from a replacement theology. And I don't know, I think that's wrong. But the idea that the Christian church has replaced the Jews and the covenants that was given to them, I think that's not biblical.
Gary, where does Jesus Christ fit into all this? I mean, obviously he's Jewish, so he doesn't like it when people are attacking the Jews, but give us more information about Jesus himself, the Messiah.
So Jesus, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, in Christ there's neither Jew or Gentile. We're all one. So he wants to bring us all together. And Christians are not asking Jews to convert away from Judaism. What we're asking is that they accept the Messiah that God sent to them. And it has to be Jesus Christ. He's the only one that qualifies. He's the only one who fulfilled the over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. He's the one in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, who says that he will come and he will be cut off, but not for himself. And then it says that the people of the prince who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, we know for a fact that happened in 70 AD. So if that's the case, then the Messiah had to come before 70 AD. But a lot of Jews today are looking for the Messiah. He already came. And at some point in the future, during the tribulation period, they will come to realize that he is the one. Jews around the world are coming to Christ today, not in the numbers we'd like. But there are many groups like One for Israel. There are groups like Jews for Jesus, those kinds of groups, who are just Jews witnessing to other Jews and showing them from the Old Testament that Jesus is their Messiah. And that when you read Isaiah 53, a lot of Jewish people have never read that before. But when you read it, it's clearly, I've seen interviews where you've had like a Jewish believer in Christ witnessing to a non-believer, a Jewish person, and just reading the text in Isaiah 53, and he says, which do you think this is, New or Old Testament? They said, well, that's obviously New Testament. Sounds like he's talking about Jesus. He said, yeah, this is the Old Testament. They don't realize it, that the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, speak of the Messiah who is Jesus Christ. So that's, you know, as a Christian, I love the Jewish people. My heart is for them to come to know their Messiah.
All right, Gary, we're out of time. GaryVarvel.com. All right. Thanks, Gary. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay.